Truth.
See, Billy got picked on at school for things he couldn't change. He tried his best to play it cool, but in the seventh grade, you either fit right in or you don't fit. That's just the cold, hard truth. I wish that I'd have been the friend that Billy never knew. I think it's time to come together, you and I can make a change. Maybe we can make a difference, make the world a better place. Look around and love somebody, we've been hateful long enough. Let the good Lord reunite us to this country that we love's undivided.
Church or you're gonna go to hell. Get a job and work or you're gonna go to jail. I just kinda wish we didn't think like that. Why's it gotta be all white or all black? And when we gonna learn to try on someone's shoes sometimes?
That's right.
When we gonna start to see from someone else's eyes?
I think welcome back. Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast is Friday, March 15th, the Ides of March, 2024. Happy birthday, Eva Longoria. She turns 49 today as well. And Ruth Bader Ginsburg, RBG, was born on this day. Let's go to the phones. Without further ado, Mike in Kentucky, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Are you live or Memorex today?
Leave a message at the tone. Beep.
Yeah, all right. That'd be what I'd program the AI chatbot to say.
Mm-hmm.
Goodness. Yeah, apparently I ran across a couple of articles I was reminded of the issue. Because Gab now is charging people to post pictures and things.
Mm-hmm.
And a bunch of accusations are flying around that the guy is investing in some kind of chatbots. So I had read this sort of stuff, and I found an article by Forbes that is gaslighting people, saying, well, any normal person can tell if they're talking with a chatbot from a year ago. But now a webpage called TechSplore details a study. 58% of people participating in a study that knew they would be talking to chatbots as part of their interaction in the study, over half could not tell when they were talking to a chatbot.
Yeah.
So,
do you recall my reading from Jaron Lanier's You Are Not a Gadget, a manifesto, where he talks about this stuff?
Well, I see once a lot of the public is aware of this, some people won't care, but a lot of people will just...
Yeah, but do you recall me reading from Jaron Lanier's You Are Not a Gadget, a manifesto about this? Because he has some very provocative thoughts on this.
Well, don't you think it'll cause a collapse of social media? People become aware that they're talking with the computer.
So that's a no, then, I'm guessing. Are you live or Memorex today? That's a dated joke, by the way. People, some of the young kids don't know what that means. What does that mean? Your audio quality is degrading, apparently. I'm hearing it. Mr. Bordop's hearing it. You're cutting out quite a bit.
Degrading.
Degrading.
Grading. It could be that the powers that be don't want us talking, so they're going to compress the audio and make it worse.
Whatever the case, it's not fantastic.
Well, there's not much I can do about it, so complain. I've tried to expose a lot of this stuff for years. Hey, you get what you pay for? No, you don't. Anyway, that wasn't original why I called in. And now I can't remember why I originally called in.
I hate it when that happens.
Yeah, well,
all right.
It was something on a previous topic that you'd brought up probably an hour ago anyway.
Well, you called in at 10:45, so, or 9:45, 10:45 Central, 9:45 Mountain, 8:45.
50 minutes or something.
Pacific.
I don't know how long. But you were,
what's
you
that?
You called for phones. You called
what's
for
that?
Open phones sometime last hour.
All right. Well, the note that I have says 9:45, so.
Well, I can check the time later, but can't. No, 20. I've been on hold for 21 minutes. Okay.
22 okay.
Minutes. Anyway.
So it's not an hour.
How long not counting how long the phone rang, and I listened to music.
Sure.
But I can't remember what I called in, so I'll let you go.
All right. Maybe make a note next time. Thanks for your call, Mike. Appreciate it. So, Toynbee's study of history, maybe we could go back to that momentarily. It's a Friday. Maybe you can leisurely observe the grass and so forth. Language is being conscripted. What does it mean when the Club of Rome says in the Limits to Growth that the purpose of the report is to warn of the likely outcome of contemporary economic and industrial policies with a view to influencing changes to a sustainable lifestyle? Just a question, you know, what does Wikipedia say about sustainable living? There is a what is that, a Venn diagram, environmental, social, economic, bearable, equitable, viable. Sustainable is in the very chewy nougat center of all of that. Usually what it means is, you know what, you use too many resources, too much energy, too much food. Well, let me just read from Wikipedia. Sustainable living describes a lifestyle that attempts to reduce the use of Earth's natural resources by an individual or society. This is all our, you know, and this folds into the communitarian agenda. We all have a responsibility to one another first, because, you know, that's what the community is. Without the community, the individual doesn't exist. Well, hogwash. It's actually the other way around. Without individuals, there is no group. Think about it. I mean, if you scatter the individuals and they all live individually in the hills or whatever, the individuals still exist. The community does not. The community exists because of the individuals. So, you know, in the same fashion that I was describing about how language is being inverted to invert reality, and this has been done a variety of ways over the course of the 20th century into the 21st century. For example, you know, brutalism, which is a design, a type of design where essentially it's what I would describe as putting the underwear on the outside. You know how you started seeing, you know, we have all of these beautiful old buildings in places that were built 100, 200 years ago, in some cases more. By the way, it's Friday. Before we go back to the phones here in a second, let me just say, you know, it's interesting. Do you feel, this is just sort of an anecdotal aside, I've mentioned many times, James Madison is a guy who observed the accumulation of all powers, legislative, executive, and judiciary in the same hands, whether of one, a few, or many, and whether hereditary, self-appointed, or elective, may justly be pronounced the very definition of tyranny. This is the guy who, you know, some people call the father of the Constitution. He says not so much. Anyway, this is, you know, his remark in Federalist 47, I believe. And is it me, or is it a provocative irony that this guy is part of the what's known as the First Families of Virginia? Speaking of, you know, one of few or many, hereditary, self-appointed, etc. That's what the First Families of Virginia represents. And Madison and his family are a part of the First Families of Virginia. It's ironic. And you find that just about everywhere you start investigating this discussion. And, you know, the story goes, I mean, we played the clip of John Taylor Gatto yesterday, Richard Grove's interview, The Ultimate History Lesson. It was the end of part one, the first video in the installment of five that's actually nine videos that Richard Grove posted, which is fantastic. Everyone should watch that. And John Taylor Gatto is talking about some of this stuff, you know, the limited hangout of the Calvinist discussion, once saved, always saved. That's not really the issue. The issue is, you know, the Darwinist discussion. And as John Taylor Gatto pointed out, it's all the same discussion, whether it's Calvin or Darwin or Spinoza. The discussion goes something like this. You know, there are those of us who make things happen. We're important. We should be around. Everyone else should go away. Well, except for a few useful people, you know, and maybe, according to Bertrand Russell, you know, maybe we should keep a domesticated population for cannibalism around. But, you know, all the rest of the people should go away. And so then you have Bill Gates giving a TED Talk, innovating to zero. That doesn't sound like innovating to me. One of these numbers has to get pretty close to zero. And the first letter in the equation is P. Many people or population. And all of the subsequent letters are predicated. They're, you know, the use of energy and services and so on is all predicated on people using them. So if you're a Malthusian type and you genuinely believe that we have a responsibility to protect the earth and that's our first obligation, then, and you have the influence, perhaps the power or authority to effect these kinds of changes, what do you do but try to get rid of a bunch of people? You know, you actually live by the courage of your conviction and do these things. Anyway, sustainable living, Wikipedia entry says, sustainable living describes a lifestyle that attempts to reduce the use of Earth's natural resources by an individual or society. Its practitioners often attempt to reduce their ecological footprint, including their carbon footprint. What's the most effective way to reduce your carbon footprint? The stabbing scene from Saving Private Ryan comes to mind here. By altering their home designs and methods of transportation. What have we seen in recent years? Is there a rise in popularity of, you know, shows where just awful. So brutalism is one design. The clothing design that has clothes not fitting properly is another example of this stuff, I think. The incredible shrinking everything. Cans of soda that look like they're out of Alice's Wonderland. You know, a can of soda that used to be 12 ounces now is, what, 7.5? Feel like you're getting old. What's wrong with my glasses? need to have my prescription checked. The tiny home stuff that you see featured all over television, and the attack on Austin. Mr. Bordop and I could probably talk about South by Southwest and the insane stuff that's gone on down there just this year. You know, it's a bomb. No, wait, it's not a bomb. It's okay. Everything's fine. Nobody cares anyway. Austin is under attack. Got to remake Austin. Why? Because to remake Austin is to remake America, basically. Sort of the local application of Halford Mackinder's Heartland Theory, if you will. That's a stretch, but not much, I would say. So here's the question. Speaking of the sustainable development, and now we're 50 years on from the limits to growth, and the, you know, 30 years on from the first global revolution where man is a threat against man, and so man needs to suicide himself and his fellow man in good communitarian fashion in order to save himself and the planet, which is insane. The question is, when mucky mucks, like, you know, people that are part of groups like the First Families of Virginia, Societies of the Cincinnatus, and stuff like that, do they reduce their use of Earth's natural resources? This is a rhetorical question, obviously. Do they reduce their ecological footprint when they fly privately, not commercial, to these secret public meetings? Anyway, we should get our wits about us and stop going along with the siren song of shenanigans. Back to the phones. James in Vancouver, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Yes, good morning.
We did it.
Looking up this club. Hello?
I said we did
club
it. We've missed each other the last couple times at least. My fault. I apologize.
It's been a traumatic schism of, yeah. No, it's okay. I can deal with it. But the I have a couple of points here that Club of Rome, okay, was founded by some sort of obtuse scientists, one Italian Pecci and a British guy named King. But at the back of the show there, I see the picture of our friend Davy Rockefeller.
Mm-hmm.
Dave. And the Maurice Strong is a Canadian guy. And again, he's a socialist. He's a, I looked his bio up. He's dead. All three of these guys are dead.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't, they didn't get the life extension technology that my buddy Henry Kissinger got. But he's dead too. So I don't know exactly what they think they're trying to do, but I don't think it will be successful, just as I don't think Neuralink will be successful. And what was these other
well,
guys?
Well, as the saying goes, deal? from your lips to God's ear.
Well, yeah, I'm sure God listens when I do my speaking. just on an aside here, I never did tell you, or I didn't tell anybody, but for the last 6 months, I've been teaching grade 8 and grade 9 science here in the greater Vancouver area.
Right on.
And, I've got my two books here, the grade 8 science and the grade 9 science. And nowhere in the books is mentioned the name Charles Darwin or the topic evolution. Can you hold me over?
I will definitely do that. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back after this short break.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Did you know the IRS publicly admits that income tax is collected by voluntary compliance? Get the information you need to help you avoid income tax with these five easy steps. All you have to do is go to avoidincometax.com to get your five easy steps on how to avoid the IRS income tax. Escape the IRS. Let avoidincometax.com help you. We guarantee our five easy steps or your money back. Go to avoidincometax.com.
Attention, freedom-loving patriots. Are you ready to dive deep into the principles that founded our great nation? Join me, Peter Serafin, and the Institute on the Constitution as we light the way to a brighter future with the Liberty Lighthouse Classroom. At liberty-lighthouse.com/classroom, you'll find a treasure trove of online courses on the U.S. Constitution, carefully crafted to empower you with knowledge to defend your rights and liberty, whether you're a student, a history enthusiast, or just a concerned citizen. These courses are for you. Gain a comprehensive understanding of our Constitution's principles, the wisdom of our founding fathers, and how to apply them in today's world. As a special offer to our freedom-loving listeners of Republic Broadcasting Network, use coupon code RBN at checkout and get 20% discount on any course. Join the Liberty Lighthouse Classroom and be a part of the movement to uphold the values that have made our nation exceptional. Unleash the power of knowledge and protect what truly matters, our Constitution. Visit liberty-lighthouse.com/classroom today. Don't miss this incredible opportunity. Use code RBN for 20% off. Together, we'll be the beacon of freedom our founding generation envisioned. Liberty Lighthouse Classroom, illuminating minds, empowering patriots.
Welcome back. So, James, you're teaching 8th grade science. No mention of evolution or Charles Darwin in the textbook. So all the animals on the farm are equal, but some are still just a little more equal than others, maybe?
Well, this is exactly what you said, something in your first hour that sparked my interest. My ears picked up in that sense of the Darwinism, that organisms struggle to survive, okay? And that exceptionalism, in other words, I have a class, and then I have a star pupil, and then everybody is in a hierarchy that goes down to the bottom, you see. This getting rid of Darwinism. He is, like you just said, we're all equal. And now what the book, the grade 9 science book, does teach is sustainability. Okay? So
right.
We're all...
Which is the same shenanigans rebranded. Uh-huh. Anyway, go ahead. Yeah.
Well, we're all hippies now, you see. In the school I teach is one of the avant-garde schools of the greater Vancouver area. And they have, I've watched the behavior of the teachers in the school. I've talked to the principal. I've looked at his behavior. And, well, the reason I'm there, of course, is I'm not technically a teacher from the government. I am a remedial teacher for a special class, which allows me access to that facility, you see. So I watch these comings and goings of what's going on. And yes, there is a washroom, bathroom there that serves both male and female at the same time. Like, it's absolutely uncanny.
It's so the old Roman public bath.
Well, I don't think I'd call it a bath. I actually have gone in it because I was simply, nobody was around. I don't know, maybe I'm on film, on camera somewhere, but I was curious, of course. Mm-hmm. And I don't think the students use it exactly, but there's these symbolic things, right? Like this bathroom and the attitude of, you know, the people I've met. And so this idea, what did you say just now? We're all equal. Some are a little better than others. Is that what, did I get that right?
You see? It's Orwell's Animal Farm. You know, all animals are created equal.
Yeah.
Just some animals are created a little more equal than others.
Yeah. Okay, right. Exactly. Okay, so I have decided, if it's okay with you, I'm going to use you as a secret source for my adjudication of this facility, and there's two courses that I'm teaching, and
they yeah.
make it a whole lot more interesting.
Use me as a secret source. Just don't tell anyone. Shh, I won't tell
anyone.
Yeah,
yeah, no. We're not on the radio. Nobody's listening. And,
nope.
It's just between
no
you and me.
No one will know. Yeah.
We're
the
in
secret
the
plans we've hatched.
Cruising down the highway looking for food. I just wanted to say one more thing here, that, again, this David Rockefeller thing. One would have to ask the question, who enforces the edicts of the Club of Rome? And that's who decides. Oh, yes, Neuralink. Well, maybe it's Elon Musk. I don't know, you see. So now, following what you say, if Neuralink becomes a big thing, you know, like after school, the kids are saying, let's go down to the mall and get the Neuralink kind of thing. Don't tell mom and dad.
Yeah.
Well, this is the fait accompli of what you're talking about in terms of what you mentioned. We're all equal. We're all tuned into the same radio station. So the individualism is gone.
Programmed to receive. As the song says.
Right. And so then, in a way, the whole evolutionary, if Darwin is right about the fittest survive and struggle, and that helps evolution, this is actually going to stop evolution. But anyway, so the deism thing, I looked that up, and I think the founding fathers were not Christians. You're right.
No, so, I think so.
I'll let you go for now. Unless you want to hold
much
me over.
Appreciated.
All
much
right.
appreciated,
take
sir,
care.
As always.
All right.
Stick around,
thank
folks.
You.
We'll be
bye
right
now.
Back.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Health Simple with Colorado Shilajit. Fact bit number one. What goes in must come out. Whatever we ingest, breathe in, or transfer by contact must be expelled. Expelled directly as burned calories, through perspiration, respiration, or expelled via urinary and gastric channels. Every element that is not properly used or removed by our bodies become toxins. And toxins, as we know, are causal to every disease and ailment. Toxins are what makes us subpar, unable to be at our best. Be your healthy best by cleansing your body of daily and deeply embedded toxins. Live stronger, and we hope live longer. Shilajit, legit Shilajit, that is, like Colorado Shilajit, is perhaps the greatest homeopathic whole body remover of toxins made by Mother Earth.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's GORBN.
Welcome back. Bottom of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast on this Friday, March 15th, the Ides of March 2024. And a couple of things before we go back to the phones real quick. In sort of anecdotal rhetorical response comment to what James said in the last segment, Couple of things. I'll try to make this quick. Multitasking is bad for radio. I acknowledge. And then he takes a pregnant pause. So let's see. Who enforces the Club of Rome, you know, the sustainable living stuff? James mentioned the neural link. I hope he's right. I hope it fails. But yeah, that's that reminds me, I've mentioned several times the John Christopher tripod series and the young people getting capped. And I read that, I think, in sixth grade, and it was terrifying. Somewhere early on, obviously it stuck with me all these years. I don't think that young people should be reading that kind of stuff. It's just terrifying. So who enforces it? Well, ironically, that's what all of this communitarian programming is about. We self-enforce it. That's the thing, whether it's a Neuralink or not. Neuralink is almost like a misdirection limited hangout, you know. We are looking for this over here. We're fixated on this target. And we don't realize that all of the psychological conditioning gets us to enforce this on ourselves and others through, you know, things like the shows that I mentioned, the tiny house kind of stuff. You have a giant house? How dare you? And this reminds me of, you know, again, Andrew Breitbart, his heritage talk, where he said, you know, this is why you send little Johnny or little Sally off to college and they get the cultural Marxist indoctrination. And, you know, at Thanksgiving, he said, you know, this is the post-structuralist model. What our children, you know, why they come home from at Thanksgiving, you know, after you sent them off, he said, with a stereo and a cool little refrigerator in their dorm, you know, and they come back at Thanksgiving and say, Mom and Dad, why are we oppressing Native Americans? You're oppressing people. And he said, it's why we have Whole Foods, because we need to be reinforced that we're saving the world while we're buying bread. So it's we all become conscripted to the communitarian enforcement brigade, self-enforcing on ourselves and one another, because we have a responsibility to protect and even prevent catastrophe, even though it's all, you know, you know the word. So anyway, there's that. It reminds me of Gatto talking about on RBN, you will find the six purposes of schooling, John Taylor Gatto, that's posted. And he talked about that from Alexander James Engels, Principles of Secondary Education, published in 1918, Chapter 10, The Aims and Functions of Secondary Education, Section 2, The Functions of Secondary Education, pages 367 and then 375 to 384. That's where you'll find it, just so you know. And it's the six functions. I'll mention those. We'll go to the phones real quick. Maybe we'll have time to play some of that, but I think this is important to mention. Before I mention the six functions and before we go back to the phones, though, speaking of the last thing that James said, he said, I think you're right. I don't think the founders were Christians, American founding fathers. But, you know, since, again, the same topic as the whole first hour, the turning upside down of conventional thought and society, you know, through the looking glass and down the rabbit hole, Lewis Carroll, which is an anglicized version of Charles Lutwidge Dodson. Charles Lutwidge reversed and anglicized is Lewis Carroll. So it's flipped through the looking glass, down the rabbit hole. And like Freud said, they don't realize we're bringing them the plague, which is why I think of, you know, Ray Liotta, Anthony Hopkins, Julianne Moore in the Hannibal scene where Anthony Hopkins is feeding Ray Liotta his own brain and Liotta's going, man, something smells really good. That's where we're at. since we've gone through the looking glass and down the rabbit hole. Up is down, down is up, back is forward, etc. We're doing this in the name of progress. Who's defining terms? Anyway, no wonder people think, I've been talking about the American founding thing, you know, to James's remark on that. You know, I mentioned David Barton on the regular, and the voices like, you know, John Fea, Warren Throckmorton, and Michael Coulter, and all of the folks who have been outspoken in opposition to the bad things that David Barton has been doing, whether intentionally or otherwise. And, you know, this whole crusade, yesterday I actually mentioned, among other resources people can check out for themselves, Kevin Cruz's book, but he's a Princeton guy, so does it really pierce the veil? No, of course it doesn't. But some of that history about how big business was and corporate America was kind of inventing or reinventing this idea of Christian America is very provocative history and worth looking into. All of that to say, here we are today in America. How many people actually read their Bible? To Jefferson's credit, he apparently was very acquainted with at least some of his Bible. Helena Blavatsky was a Satanist, but I'll tell you what, she could probably quote scripture better than most people who call themselves Christians, just like the devil did to Jesus in Matthew chapter 4, for example, quoting Psalm 91, though out of context, bearing false witness. So here we are today in America, and no wonder, you know, since people think that Sha'Carri Richardson or Jordan Peterson or Joe Rogan or maybe Alex Jones or the folks at Bethel or the New Apostolic Reformation or Michael Flynn and his fellow First Earthers, the First Earth Rebellion clan, you know, reciting Elizabeth Clare Prophet stuff as prayer. You know, if this passes off for Christianity, no wonder we think that the founders were Christians. But, you know, this, again, as I said yesterday, is the kind of the ultimate realization of the plan to have us thinking and believing that, you know, we shall be as gods. I mentioned yesterday the, you know, Marilyn Mellows talking about Jefferson finding a Jesus that resembles himself, David Barton as John Fea noted, I believe, finds a Jefferson that resembles himself. And Sarah Young finds a Jesus that resembles herself. This is what we do. Who, I forget who it was that said, God created us in his image and, you know, in our, what was it, divine wisdom and grace or whatever, we decided to repay the favor and remake him in our image. Can't remember who said it, but it was a brilliant remark. And that is the idea really behind the apotheosis, but it's for two crowds. There's, you know, there's that crowd. And then as James was saying, you know, there's the special folks, the David Rockefellers, the Marie Strongs and those guys. And then there's the rest of us. And that message, that siren song is supposed to mean two different things to two different camps, but whatever, it is what it is. Anyway, back to the phones, Brian in Washington. Thanks for calling. Welcome.
Morning, Chris.
Brian?
At one time, you said, well, Brian, am I not doing a good job here? Why do you want me to encourage interviews with others? And you have to realize, Jenna and I, we attack problems every day. And by 10 o'clock, a lot of times, things have changed and we need to alter our path. We are extremely concerned with the way the world is going, and we don't think that John in Tennessee's attitude of just praise Jesus, we need to have a, you know, some communication. So I'm going to tell you that you having Kevin McCarron on was very beneficial. It's a Breiser in Ireland that had a longtime radio show. Scorpio and Giuseppe and all of them were buddy buddies. But it was Breiser that said, you know, maybe this, it's the Jews' game plan for opposing this problem isn't working. Maybe we need a change of tack, kind of a sailing term here from the Pacific Northwest. So Breiser, after listening to your interview of Kevin McCarron, said, well, you know, I really don't want to go on Kevin's show because he's going to bring up my no virus opinions that I know next to nothing about. Why doesn't he just have Mark Bailey or Tom Cowan on? I just simply have these opinions. Or, you know, maybe he's going to want to talk about my flat earther opinions, and hopefully won't talk about me drinking my own urine. Long story short, Breiser's so frustrated with the progress that we're making that he's very seriously considering taking up Kevin McCarron's invite on for some back and forth. So I have a new person that I'm wanting to give an invite to have you interview. We're going to put her name in a short clip. Carolyn Borisenko. She's, you know, got a podcast. She gets $50 donations, and she reads the chats, and she just went on with Adam Green. And, yeah, they were having some back and forth, but basically this woman, when Jenna types in, hey, Adam, can you ask her about communitarianism? She said, I've never heard of it. So what is Carolyn's big thing? Well, it's the socialist collective takeover of the United States where she lives. So what I'm trying to say, Chris, is with your permission, once you look in your chat room and have a quick look, you could email us back. Yeah, I think Carolyn could benefit from coming on with somebody like Chris Hinckley, who's got 10 solid years of enduring Larkin, Texas, who, by the way, was also harassing Adam and Carolyn on their chat,
well, I definitely, chat room. I would definitely say I don't endure Lark. I appreciate him dearly. And, you know, I don't know why we're having trouble communicating. I got the video and I mentioned it. I'll probably play it next week. I didn't think it was good for Friday, and I intended to do it earlier this week and was remiss in not doing it. But the Mark Wendo, Shelley Tasker interview, Steering the Public, Communitarianism, I think that's fantastic, and everyone should watch it, because not only does Mark explain, but it's encouraging and it's uplifting. And hey, you know, he says it's simple. Here are some things you can do. They are, you know, they are manipulative and coercive, in my words, but not terribly clever or imaginative. And, or I think he says clever, but not imaginative, not creative. And I agree. So anyway, I appreciate Lark sending me that. I need to respond. I apologize for not doing that, but definitely not suffering. Definitely always have been appreciative over the years. You know, even well, if we don't agree on everything, I am deeply appreciative.
Okay, well, you and I have some misunderstanding. I'm saying that Carolyn and Adam Green were enduring Lark's comments in the chat room.
Okay.
During the broadcast. As to Mark Windows, I wouldn't... I'd keep him at a 10-foot distance with a sharp stick. I think he is misleading people. He does not talk about capitalism and communitarianism. And I think it's for good reason. He's got his shtick. And I really think he could really kick this can down the road if he would type into this guy with an Irish brogue that broadcasts out of England, Richie Allen, and invite Lark on. But no, Mark Windows wants to have to be the end-all be-all on communitarianism, even though, like Brendan O'Connell, he misleads people on the importance of this very clear definition.
We're all fallible people. I mentioned Kevin Cruz's work a moment ago that I mentioned during yesterday's broadcast, and like I said, sort of poking a little bit, he's a Princeton guy, so does Kevin Cruz's research pierce the veil? No, it clearly does not, but it sure, shines a bright light on some breadcrumbs that I think are very important. And, could it be misleading? Absolutely. It could be construed to be intentionally misleading. I would not rule that out. And similarly, in Mark Windows' case, he's just a man like the rest of us. We don't have all the answers. I don't think any of us have all the puzzle pieces, but I do appreciate you guys bird dogging stuff, and I think that some of the bits that Mark Windows has are helpful.
Although sending people down this false trail never puts up the Pepperdine University conservative communitarians that meet on a regular basis. It's misleading, Mark, and makes for a huge problem.
So which Carolyn Borosenko is this? Because how do you spell that?
Carlyn.
That's what I thought. So Carolyn Borosenko is the actively unwoke person, right?
I don't know what woke is, Chris. I live in a very small world, so
so
I can't answer.
Actively unwoke is Carolyn's Substack. And that's kind of the brand, basically the Carolyn Borosenko brand. I would say that's misleading. I would say Nikki Rapana would say don't participate in the dialectic.
I'm going to say we need all the voices we can to get wised up.
That's kind of what I was saying, but you said Mark is not a legitimate voice in that discussion.
Mark had a good stint on RBN, and he did not fill the void, and I'm glad to see him gone. And until he comes around to realizing our problem is socialism and collectivism and the left, and completely giving capitalism here's the false trail to follow, which is exactly what Carolyn's doing. I'm just saying I'm recommending you having her on so that she won't have to answer communitarianism. I've never heard of it. And you could present that in your two-hour broadcast. So that's my request, my hope.
Well, okay, but I think we have some remedial work to do before that, which is what I just said. I think Nikki would say you know, actively unwoke is the other side of the dialectic.
Well, I wasn't expecting you to agree, having never listened to anything this Carolyn had to say. She went on with Adam Green, and then a day ago, she's debriefing after chat with Adam Green.
I think Adam Green is, yeah, ground zero of the dialectical conflict and the, you know, Marxist provocateurism and conflict. Workers of the world, unite. Everyone is part of the struggle. Struggle, struggle, dear comrades.
Yeah, so, the dialectic of if we can just kill all them Jews, all our problems will be over. That doesn't work for me, and that's what Carolyn is arguing with Adam about.
Now, like I said, I think that's the other side of the dialectic. Anyway, I want to mention the six, before we finish today, I alluded to the six important functions of secondary education that Gatto talks about. I want to mention those real quick. So,
thanks so much, Chris.
Thank you, Brian. Much appreciated, as always. We'll see. Yeah, you can't repost the Gatto thing enough. Mr. Bordop says it's reposted on republicbroadcasting.org. So check it out. What are the six functions, real quick, in the last minute of today's broadcast? Six important functions of secondary education, as mentioned by John Taylor Gatto, according to Alexander James Ingalls. Who's he? Listen to the video and you'll hear the intrigue. Number one, the adjustive or adaptive function to establish the establishment of fixed habits of reaction to authority. Number two, this is what schooling is about. Number two, integrating or conformity function. Develop like-mindedness, unity, and thoughts and habits. Three, differentiating function. Label children to mark them in the social or caste class structure. Four, the propaedeutic function. Divide and conquer, the strategy to immobilize in social structure. Five, the selective function. Preservation of the favored races, that whole nonsense, and you know, who's you know, which animals are more equal than others, basically. And finally, six, the diagnostic and directive function, grooming of those in higher, air quotes, higher social classes to manage or rule over the lower classes. Those are the six important functions of secondary education, according to Alexander James Ingalls, as mentioned by John Taylor Gatto. Watch the video, Six Purposes of Schooling, John Taylor Gatto, and you'll learn lots more if you don't know already. I hope you have a great weekend. I firmly believe that prayer is the most powerful thing we can do on earth, but if you do it without doubting. Single-minded is the only way to do it. I hope you have a great weekend. I hope it was informative. As always, it's truly an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. After taking Extendivite for about 6 months, I've noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from the carpal tunnel syndrome. I will continue to buy product. This formula is very powerful. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure is stabilized, my lower edema has reduced, and lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.